Please stand if you can and let us draw closer to our Lord and Savior as we lift up praises of thanksgiving to Him.
stable. No matter what we go through, no matter what struggle we're facing, the Lord our God is faithful and he is able. Would you pray with me this morning? Lord, we come before you this morning in a season of thanksgiving, Lord. And even though on our calendar year, Lord, we only dedicate this short season, Lord, to give you thanks. So we should always be forever grateful for all the things that you do for us, Lord. Because there's so much that we take for granted, Lord. But your word says your mercies are new every morning. And so we pray that you would work on our hearts, Lord, this morning, Lord. Renew us, Lord, so that we remain in a spirit of thankfulness, Lord. That we continually praise you and give thanks for the things that you have. We pray that you would prepare our hearts, Lord, for your message from Pastor Charles, Lord, from your word, Lord. Make us your sanctuary, Lord, in our name I pray.
Would you please be seated? We have spent time this morning worshiping our Lord and Savior. We're going to spend time now lifting up prayer requests to the Lord, things that people have asked for prayer for. I want to read through the list. I want you to write these down. Be in prayer this week from someone from our church. You can be praying for Maureen Found's brother. His name is Joe. He's having surgery on December 5th. Just prayers for Joe and for his surgery that it would go well. For the prayer request of Karen Potts here, for a little boy named Caden, he's 4 years old. He's battling brain cancer right now. Just prayers for Caden that the Lord would heal him. He had a surgery this last week that he would recover well from that surgery. Be praying for Caden. We appreciate it. And for the request of Wendy Salter, she has a few here. One for her family, another for her friend named Pam, and finally for her supervisor passed away. Just prayers for that family as they're dealing with that loss. I want to take time now to pray for these people. Would you please bow your heads and pray with me? Gracious Lord, I do thank you for this morning. I lift up to you Joe, as well as for Caden and for Pam and Wendy's family. Father, none of them have escaped your notice. You know each and every one of these people. You created and love each and every one of these individuals. I pray, Lord, that you would continue to watch over them. Father, if it be your will, that you would give them healing. Father, I ask that you would give them the things that they need. As a good, good father, Father, I ask that you would just give them the things that they need. I pray, Lord, for this time here in this place that we could grow closer to you through the study of your word. And I ask all of this in your son, Jesus. Amen. All right. Well, kids, it is time for our kids' message. If you can look at the screens, we're going to have our good news mystery box. Hey, good morning, boys and girls. Welcome back, Shepherd of the Hills. It's great to be here with you. Now, last Sunday, I was talking to somebody from church, and they told me there was a place nearby called the Ice House. I got really excited, thinking, oh boy, a house made out of ice. But boys and girls, the Ice House is a restaurant. Who knew? I was looking at their menu, and they have pizza, they have subs. People like pizza, people like subs, people like Jesus. This is a great place to talk about Jesus. So boys and girls, I have my mystery box here, and whatever you put inside of here, I'm going to take it to turn into a message about Christ. So with that in mind, let's see what's in our mystery box today. Oh, boys and girls, I used to play this game all the time. This right here is a chess piece. I don't know if you ever played chess before, but I believe this piece is the king. He got the little crown on top here. The king in chess can move one piece up, side to side, or diagonally. He is the most important piece on the board. If you lose your king in chess, boys and girls, you lose the game. Now, in our lives, boys and girls, Jesus Christ is our king. If we lose Christ, if we lose focus on him, we've lost the game. So I want to encourage you, when you're playing games like chess, when you're living life, to be focused on Jesus, to think about, what would Jesus want me to do in this situation? How could I love somebody? Be thinking about that as you go about life, and understand that when you forget to think about Jesus, when you take your eye off the prize, that you actually lose. So I encourage you, win by following after Jesus. With that in mind, let's pray. And gracious Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this chess piece and for all games. Father, I'm so thankful that you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that you are the one who is sovereign over all things. I pray that you would watch over these children, that they would come to know you in greater detail, Lord, that they would understand your love for them, and that they could be loving others. Continue to watch over them, give them wisdom and direction. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, I'm going to head over here into the Ice House and get a pizza. You guys take care. Have a great week. God bless. All right, well, the kids are dismissed right now to go back to the children's rooms. And if you're here this morning, I want to encourage you to grab a Bible, if you don't have one, there's one in front of you, and open up to the book of Ephesians. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 1. Before we get to Ephesians chapter 1, however, I do want to go over a few things that are happening here at the church that you should be aware of, things that you should know. First off, last Wednesday, we did not have our verse-by-verse Bible study. We will be resuming it this Wednesday. So we'll have kids' stuff happening at 6:30, and we'll have the verse-by-verse happening at 7. So I would encourage you, if you haven't come out to those before, it is a great opportunity to be in a study with other believers in God's Word. Once again, that'll be on Wednesday at 7. Also, I want to make sure you're aware that we're having a church appreciation luncheon that is happening on December 11th. So on December 11th, we are inviting everyone from our congregation to come out in an appreciation luncheon. You don't have to have served at the church here. If you consider yourself a member of our church, if this is somewhere that you considered home, I would encourage you to sign up for that so we can know how many people to make food for. We want you to be here at that luncheon. Once again, that'll be on December 11th after this third service. There are ladies' events that are happening. I would encourage you to look at your bulletins. I'm not going to read through and tell you what they are, but if you have a bulletin, read through it. If you don't have a bulletin, the digital bulletin is available for you, and if you can't access that, come see me. I will talk to you one-on-one about it. I want to make sure you know what's going on, but I don't want to read through our bulletin for you. Lastly, we do have a missions announcement. So our missionaries, we change missionaries every month here at Separate Hills. We support a different missionary. So last month, we were supporting Derek Whitmore and the Boyertown Salvation Army. We have new missionaries starting in December. I want you to know who they are. So please direct your attention to the screens, and we'll have our missions video.
Good morning. I'm just here to remind everyone of our December missions commitments. First, we have Jeremiah and Brianna Stokes, who are ministering to the Dem tribe in Indonesia. They are currently in the States on a furlough and kind of waiting through some visa issues, so prayers are appreciated for that. But also when they return, they'll be continuing that ministry to the Dem tribe. They've already helped to translate a lot of the language so that the people can understand God's word. So such a blessing to be able to help support them. We also have our vision project for the month of December, which is the Light of Life Ministry in Kenya. We have a base right out of Olli, Pennsylvania. But really what they're doing is they're helping to support women and children and to protect them from some unsafe practices through education and also through ministry and providing food for those people. So again, we appreciate your help with these ministries in any way you're able to support. Thanks so much.
All right, well, if you'd like to support our missionaries or the ministry here at Shepherd of the Hills, the Agape boxes are by the doors. You should pass by them on the way out of the building. If you do not, that means you've gone out one of these doors, and that's okay too. So I just want to let you know, we are in the book of Ephesians today, chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, we've been going through a series looking at Thanksgiving, why it is we're called to be thankful. Now this last week, if you were in America, on Thursday, we celebrated a holiday that we call Thanksgiving. Now I love Thanksgiving, and it's actually my favorite holiday of the entire year. For the last 25 years or so, I've gone to a hunting cabin in West Virginia with friends and family, and it is a great time. There's no internet. There's no television. We're disconnected from the world at large. It is a great place to go and be connected with friends and family. Now, we were at this place on Thanksgiving Day, and we were having our Thanksgiving lunch, and my daughter, who was sitting a couple spots away from me, leaned over and said, "Daddy, you know what we should do? We should go around and say what we're thankful for." And I was like, "Oh, that's a great idea, Samantha. Why don't you tell them?" And she's like, "No." And I was like, "That's okay. They'll be okay." And she said, "Okay, fine." And she said, "Hey, everybody, why don't we all share what we're thankful for?" And so we looked at her and said, "Okay, Samantha, you get to go first." And she was like, "Okay." And here I am, a proud parent. She said, "I'm thankful for my parents and for Jesus who died on the cross for my sins." And I'm like, "Oh, that's a great kid. I'm happy with this one." And we go to my next son. His name is Gabriel. He was sitting directly to her left. And they go, "Gabriel, what are you thankful for?" And he said, "Go the other way." And so we said, "Okay." And he hit himself. So, okay, we will go the other way. And so Wesley was sitting to Samantha's right, and he was next. And so Wesley's turn, and we look at Wesley, and he gets very serious. Has a very serious face on. "I'm thankful for snacks." And he was happiest kid you'd ever seen. He thought that was the best answer. And you know what? Each of those answers gives an understanding of how we see God. See, my daughter understood who she was in Christ, that God had, Jesus had come and died for her. And she was thankful to the Lord for that. Gabriel, he knows there's things to be thankful for. He just wasn't sure what to be thankful for. And then there was Wesley, who was just thankful that he had something as simple as his basic needs that had been met. He was thankful for snacks. Now, you and I are here this morning. We've been going through a series on Thanksgiving, what we can be thankful for. We've looked at the idea that Jesus had his Last Supper and that we were thankful for him, and he was thankful for things as well. We also looked at, we can be thankful for the idea of other success, that we don't have to be upset that someone else is succeeding and we're not. We can be thankful that others are succeeding. We can be thankful in times of trial, in times of anxiety and panic. And today we're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 1, looking at the thanksgiving we have as a result of the spiritual blessings of God. So with that in mind, we're going to begin in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. It says this. It says, "Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, when you're reading the Bible, I hope there are a couple of questions that you're asking yourself. You're asking yourself the question of, all right, who is this author? Who is this guy named Paul? Who is he writing to? What is the context of this story? When you read through Scripture, I want you to remember, Scripture doesn't happen in a vacuum. It's not all by itself. It is interconnected with other parts of Scripture, which is why when I'm preaching up here, I will reference other parts of Scripture that tie into what we're talking about. Now, Paul here, if you want to read more about the church in Ephesus, I would encourage you this week, read through Acts 18, 19, and 20. You'll learn about who founded the church of Ephesus. You'll learn about Paul and his ministry there, how long he stayed there. He was there for 2 years. This was the place that he cared about. And it says in Acts chapter 20 that all the residents of Asia had heard the word of the Lord, both the Jews and the Greeks. See, Paul had a passion for the Jews. Paul was a Jew himself. He loved the Jewish people. Whenever he would go to a new city, to a new town, he would go into the synagogue, and the first thing that he would do would be to tell the Jews about Jesus. Now, the Jews, every city he would go to, they would listen for a while, and then they would actively oppose his ministry, seeking to kill him or run him out of town. So as a result of that, Paul is known as the apostle to the Gentiles, those who were not of the Jewish nation. So it says here, the first thing, this is Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. Now, the apostles were the 12 men on earth who were called by Christ into ministry. You have the 11 disciples plus Paul. Paul here was the final of the apostles who was called, and he did not follow Christ while he was on earth. Paul had a divine revelation, a special calling from God to go and share who Jesus was. So we have Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, it says here, by the will of God. And it's written to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. To the saints in Ephesus. Now, when we hear the word saint, we oftentimes have the wrong idea. See, we think of a saint, we have your believers, and then you have your saints. The Catholic Church has kind of perpetuated this idea that there are those who are better believers than others, and those are the saints, and everybody else is a second-tier believer. That goes exactly opposed to what Paul says here. He says, this is written to the saints who are in Ephesus. If you are a believer in Christ this morning, you are a saint. You are special, called by God. We'll look more at that later, but you are a saint. And it says, the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ. It is possible to be a saint and not be faithful. The story of the prodigal son is a great example of that. We'll look at it later. But the idea that it is possible to have faith in the Lord and then walk away. There are those who do that. I want to encourage you, do not be one of those believers who is a saint, but who is not faithful. I want you to be like the ones Paul's writing to the saints who are faithful. He says here, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. When Paul writes the letter to any group, he writes this beginning, grace and peace to you. If you would like to have peace in your life, if that's something that you desire, you will not achieve that without understanding the grace of God, without living in God's grace, without allowing God to apply that to your account. If you don't live in grace this morning, you do not have the peace of the Lord. So I would encourage you, understand the peace of God by accepting his grace. So we continue reading on here in Ephesians. Now, Ephesians, we're going to be looking at spiritual blessings. And the important text here, Ephesians 1 verse 3 says this, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The idea of blessed be explains that the one who blesses is God. He is the one from whom blessings flow. This word, blessed, also signifies praise. So we are blessed from God, and as a result of that, we are called to be praising him. Now, God here is talked about in three different ways. He is seen as God the Father, he is seen as God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We understand this idea as the Trinity, three in one. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You may or may not know the word Trinity is not anywhere in your Bible. That is a word that we use to explain an idea. So we had the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And God is seen here as a Father who provides for his children. If you have children right now, you understand the basic tenets of a parent are to provide for your children. That is like the bare minimum standard. You have to give your kids what they need. You got to give them food. You got to give them clothing. You got to give them shelter. Now, hopefully none of you strive to be a bare minimum parent. A lot of parents want to give their children more than the bare minimum. When they turn 16, you might give your child an old beater car with the understanding that, hey, they need to learn how to drive and they need to learn how to get to work and they need to have more independence. So you give your child an old car. A lot of parents save the entire time from their child when they're 0 years old up until they're 18 to help pay for their child's college education. Because you understand that you want your child to be educated. You want what is best for your child. Now it says here that God the Father has blessed us with some spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. with a handful of spiritual blessings, with one or two, with a couple. Are any of those translated in your Bible that way? The translation here is either every or all. God the Father knows what you need, and he has provided for you, if you are a saint this morning, every or all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. So we're going to be looking at today what that idea actually means, and we're going to look at it from three different perspectives: the blessings of the Father, the blessings of the Son, and the blessings of the Holy Spirit. So we continue reading here, Ephesians 1, I'm going to read verse 3 again. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. It says, he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praises of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. The first spiritual blessing I want you to note here is the blessing of God's grace. It says he has blessed us in Christ. Christ is the manifestation of God's grace. It was through Christ's death and subsequent resurrection that we have a means of redemption and reconciliation between man and between God. We have received God's grace through Christ. Now, this first spiritual blessing is the idea that you have an identity in Christ as a result of that blessing. Now, in Luke chapter 19, you have the parable of the talents. I'm not going to go through in great detail and talk about this parable. But the parable of talents, in summation, is this. There were three servants. The first servant received the most. The second servant received a medium amount. The third received the least. The first servant was a good servant and went out and got more. The second servant went out and got more. The third servant went out and hid his money. The master returned home. He said, great job, first servant. Great job, second servant. Third servant, you are wicked. How could you do this? Now, what I want to point out to you is that each and every one of these servants served the master. The first two did it successfully. They used the talents that God had given them and made more talent. The third, however, did not do it successfully. It is possible to be in Christ this morning, to be a believer, and to be a bad servant. Now, I'm hoping that your goal, your desire, your striving to follow after the Lord, that you want to be one of the first two servants who's doing well. But sadly, a lot of people, when they seek to serve Christ, they fall short. And in doing so, they become the third servant. So you have received the grace of the Lord this morning. He has blessed you with grace. As a result of that, he has called you into service. It says here in verse 4 that you are chosen in him before the foundation of the world. You and I today have a lot of limitations. We are limited primarily in four different ways. First off, you and I are limited in that we are matter. All right, go ahead and pat yourself. You feel yourself? Patting your neighbor. You can pat yourself. You can feel yourself. You are here. You are tangible. If you don't believe so, I would encourage you to stand up and run to the wall. You will see that you are matter. You exist as matter. God does not exist as matter. He exists outside of matter. See, you and I are limited by time. See, we see time in a very linear fashion. There was yesterday. I'm living in today. Tomorrow, if God will it, I will be here. But I can't go back to tomorrow. I can't go forward till, or back to yesterday. I can't go forward to tomorrow. I am living time in a straight line. But it says here that we were chosen before the foundation of the world. God saw you before you even existed. He exists outside of time. He's not bound by matter. He's not bound by time. He's not bound by space. God can be all places at all times. Right now, I'm standing in front of you preaching a sermon. I cannot also be at my house washing my car. I cannot be helping my wife make the food for the kids. I can be one place at one time. God is not bound in that way. You and I are also bound by our intellect. Some of us are more bound than others. So we're bound by, none of us are omniscient. We don't know everything. But we're all bound in these four ways. But it says here in this verse that you were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. God is not bound in the same way that you and I are bound. He is able to see the end from the beginning. And it says here that before you even lived, you were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. What does that mean to be chosen in him? There are two primary means with which we explain this passage. You either have Arminianism or Calvinism. You have choice or that God chose you. Now, one of the early church fathers, his name was Augustine, he was wrestling with this passage. With the question of, all right, I don't understand. It says here that we are chosen. How then can I be chosen? Who is chosen? What role then does faith play? I don't understand. And he's pondering this idea. He can't comprehend that before the world existed, that he was chosen, that somehow God's grace is what saves him, but yet there seems to be something else missing. He didn't understand what was going on. So he's questioning this and running it through his mind, and he's outside and he sees a child playing by the shore. Now the child had dug a hole for himself and was walking over and scooping water from the ocean and dropping it into the hole. And he watched the child do this for a while, and confused, he asked the child, "Child, what are you doing?" And the child looked up with a very happy, innocent child face and say, "I'm going to take that ocean and I'm going to put it inside that hole." In the same way, you and I are bound by these four things. We cannot fully understand how it is God does things. Sometimes we don't understand why God does things. We go through trials and difficulties. We don't understand why they're happening to us. God has a plan. He has seen the end from the beginning. So it says here that we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. And this idea of being chosen in Christ is one I want to help you understand a little better. Now, I am a married man, happily married, almost 12 years now. I have 3 children and 1 wife. All right, before I had the 3 kids, I just had the 1 wife. Before I had the 1 wife, I had a fiance. Before I had a fiance, I had a girlfriend. Now, Amber and I got engaged, went to Outer Banks or at the beach with my family. And I wanted the day to be really nice. I had a ring. I had a plan. I wanted her to have a good day. So we woke up. I made sure that she had coffee and that she had food. All right. I wanted to make sure that she had a good day at the beach. I carried all of her stuff down. I set up her towel. She had a nice little umbrella. She had shade if she wanted it. All right. We went down for a bike ride. We were having a great day. Took her out to dinner. I even offered to let her get dessert. I never do that. So we're having a great day. And we get back to the house and we're on the back porch. There was an outlook that overlooked the sunset. And I asked her, "Amber, did you have a good day?" And she said, "Yeah." And I was like, "Is there anything I can do to make it better?" And she said, "No." Boom. At this moment, I have chosen. At this moment, the ring is in my hand. I have asked her now to marry me. I have chosen. Now, there are a number of responses that Amber could have come up with. I'm down on one knee. She could have smacked the ring and said, "No." She could have been like, "Well, we're actually a little bit too young. I'm not sure I'm ready for marriage." Glad she didn't say either of those. So I'm down there on my knee. I have chosen. I have asked her to be my wife. And the moment she says yes, she has chosen as well. See, before the creation of the world, God chose you. He has asked you to be his adopted child. He wants that of you, but if you haven't chosen him, you don't have access to these spiritual blessings. So it says here, we are chosen in him before the foundation of the world, and chosen for what purpose? It says here to be holy and blameless before him. The idea of holiness is what I want to make sure you understand. Holiness is a difficult concept to grasp. Both in Leviticus and 1 Peter, it tells us to be holy because God is holy. Now, you and I cannot be exactly as God is. God is holy in that he does nothing wrong. That is part of holiness. The other part of holiness I want you to understand is the idea of being set apart for a holy purpose. The idea of holiness being that God has selected you for the purpose with which he has given you. You are holy, set apart, blameless before him for the work that he has given to you to do. So you and I are called to be holy and blameless. And it says to do this in verse 4, in his love. If you are a believer in Christ, one of the best blessings that you have received is the love of the Lord. You have the agape, never-ending love as a result of your position in Jesus Christ. God will always love you. Before you knew Christ, you stood in opposition to Christ. Before you knew who the Lord was, you were actively opposed to the things of God. However, you now have a new identity, a new position in the Lord as a result of your faith. God chose you to be holy and blameless. You are in his love. It says here that you were predestined to adoption. Now, we understand the concept of adoption. You have kids who are in need. You have a parent who has the desire. You put them together. This idea of adoption goes beyond that, though. It's more than just we were kids who were in need. This idea of adoption is the idea of a child who was in need, who has grown up to become a man, and that you have access to everything that the father has. The story of the prodigal son is a great example of this. A child who has grown up, who went to the father and said, "Father, I am now a man. Give me my inheritance. Give me what I deserve." So you and I, it says here in Scripture that we have access to every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. We come to God asking for the things that we need. And the prodigal son here, he did it in a poor way. He took what the father had given him and he used it for himself. You and I are called not to do that. We're called to access these heavenly blessings for the purpose of being blameless and serving others. So it says here that we are, in verse 6, he has blessed us in the beloved. You and I are now seen before the heavenly Father, not on our own. We are seen as in Christ. The word blessed here can literally translate as he has graced us into Christ. We are accepted by God as a result of who Jesus is, not our own works. That is further explained in Ephesians chapter 2. The idea that it's by grace you have been saved through faith, not a work of yourself. It's a gift of God so that no man can boast. You are now a part of the family of God. You have been adopted by the Lord. You are a child of God. That is one of the blessings that you have received because of faith. So we understand here that God, the Father, has given us some blessings. We're going to continue reading on in verse 7 with the Son and his blessings. It says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he has lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will." It says, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him, it says, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purposes of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. The very first thing that the Son has done for us has given us redemption through his blood. This idea of redemption is the idea of a great debt that was owed that has been paid on your behalf. If you are an adult in this room, odds are you have had a debt in your life you had to pay off. If you own a home right now, you probably had a mortgage. If you had a new car, you might have gotten a loan for that car. If you have gone through college, you might have gotten student loans to pay for those. We understand the idea of a loan and having a debt that is owed, but all of those debts that I just listed are debts that you could pay yourself, that you can go get a job, that you can work hard enough for, and you can return the money that you have borrowed. This idea here of redemption through his blood is the idea that you had a debt that you yourself were unable to repay. You had a debt so great that you, through no act of your own, were capable of doing it. But it says here that we have been redeemed through the blood. The debt that you owe, the sin debt that you had, has been paid in full by Jesus Christ. As a result of that, it says in verse 7 that we have the forgiveness of our sins. We understand that Romans 6:23 tells us that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. We understand that before we were in Christ, we had a debt that we could not pay, that God saw that debt before the creation of the world. He created Jesus, or he allowed Jesus to come down, manifest God in the flesh to die for our sins, redeeming us through his blood. Now, the idea of blood here goes beyond just bleeding. Before Christ was crucified, he bled. He was beaten. He was whipped. He had a crown of thorns smashed down upon his head. There was blood. But that blood was insufficient to cover your sins. Had that been enough, when they taunted him and said, "Jesus, come down," Jesus could have said, "Okay, job's done." But that blood wasn't enough. The idea that we're looking at here, the idea of a blood debt being owed, harkens back to the Old Testament. When you had a sin that you had to pay for, the life of the animal was forfeit to pay for the sin on your behalf. Christ came and gave his life for you and for me. That is how we receive redemption through the blood, forgiveness of our sins. It says here we also received the riches of his grace that have been lavished upon us, and he made known to you the mystery of his will. What is the will of God? A lot of religion tries to answer that question. Answer the questions of who am I? Where did I come from? Why am I here? Where am I going when I die? If you are in Christ this morning, you have answers to every single one of those questions. Who are you? You are a child of the Most High God. Where did you come from? God created you. He created you because he loves you. Why are you here? To be holy and blameless, set apart for his works. And where are you going? It says here next, though, we have obtained an inheritance. The idea, once again, of inheritance being when someone dies, you receive something from that person. When Christ died, you received a new life. And this new life that you received happened now. It happened before the world was created. It will happen long after the world is gone. You will be, as a result of your position in Christ here today, with the Heavenly Father forever. You're with him now, before the world was created, and at the end of time, you will always have access to God. What a blessing that is. That's something to be thankful for, that you will always have communion with your Heavenly Father. So we recognize that God the Father, God the Son, and the third one here, God the Holy Spirit, what he gives us as a blessing. Continue reading in verse 13, it says this: "In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him," it says, "were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who was the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it. All this to the praise of his glory." If you're here this morning, you have heard the word of truth. I spent the morning preaching to you about the idea of God, that he is the Father, that God the Son came and he died for you. Hear that the Holy Spirit will live inside of you as a believer if you allow him to live inside of you. This is the gospel message. You have heard the word of truth. All biblical truth is divine revelation. What you read in Scripture is God revealing himself to you. Do you spend time learning about God? And not just from the academic perspective, I'm trying to understand who God is, but in the, okay, God, you created me, you know me, you love me, what do you want of my life? Do you spend time with the Heavenly Father in that way? Trying to understand who God has created you to be. Now, if you are a believer this morning, it says here that you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. There are two ways you can know that you've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. The first one is through your spiritual gifting. You have been given a spiritual gift. God has equipped you for the ministry with which he has called you into. If he wants you to be doing something, he will give you the means by which to do it. So you have received a spiritual gift. That is more challenging to discern. If you want to know more about spiritual gifts, I would encourage you, look to Romans, 1 Corinthians, and Ephesians. All of those passages talk about spiritual gifts. The other way to do it is through the fruit of the Spirit. Now, the fruit of the Spirit is not a coconut. All right, the fruit of the Spirit is not a coconut. If you want to be a coconut, you might as well hear it. You can't be a fruit of the Spirit. Because the fruits are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the fruits of the Spirit. If the Spirit of God is living within you today, you should be manifesting or exhibiting some of these characteristics. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If you want to know if you have received the Spirit of God, look at your life. Do you see these characteristics in your life? If you don't, I would challenge you to ask the question, am I in relationship with God the Father? Have I accepted the grace that God the Father gave us through Jesus Christ? Am I seeking to live for him? So we understand here that we have these spiritual gifts. We have the fruits of the Spirit. Now, I've only gone through about half of the first chapter of Ephesians. The first three chapters of this book all deal with spiritual blessings, what you've received from God. If you want to do a reading this week, I would encourage you, first read Colossians chapters 1 through 3. After you read Colossians 1 through 3, read Ephesians 1 through 3. Colossians 1 through 3 talk about what Christ has done for you. Ephesians 1 through 3 discuss the spiritual blessings you receive as a result of that faith. Take time this week studying Scripture. Understand who you are in Christ. So we recognize here that God the Father, that God the Son, and God the Spirit have given us these spiritual blessings, things that cannot be taken away from you. We understand that God has given us his Spirit to live inside of us, that we're called to be loving others and living for our Heavenly Father. Is that not a reason to be thankful? Could you not look at all these things that God has done for you? The only response is that of praise and thanksgiving. Understanding that you are no longer seen before God as a sinful being. You are seen as one who is his beloved in Christ. I would encourage you to live your lives having received the love of the Lord. And with that in mind, let's pray. And gracious Father, I am thankful this morning for the ability to gather here. Father, I'm thankful for these spiritual blessings. Father, I'm thankful for what you have done in my life and the lives of those who are here this morning. Father, I would ask that you continue to reveal yourself through Scripture, that we continue to dive in to your word, that we could know you more fully, that we could live out these truths in our lives, that we could be thankful, showing gratitude because of what you have done for us. Father, I would also ask once again that as we prepare to leave from here, that we would continue to grow closer to you, that we wouldn't allow Sunday to be the only time we're in Scripture, or the only time that we're in prayer. Father, that we could be in Scripture every day, that we can be in prayer constantly, that we would be continually looking to you, Father, for direction and wisdom and guidance. And ultimately, Lord, for strength. I pray, Lord, that you would show us where you would have us to go, that you would lead those who don't know you into our lives, that they can see the fruits of the Spirit, and that, Father, we could show them your love because they, too, are chosen in you. I ask, Lord, that you would watch over us, give us protection and guidance. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you please rise as we conclude our service with one final song?
Pray that as we leave from here, that our lives would display that to the Lord. We thank, we praise you, keep us safe as we leave from here, and bring us back to worship you together. In your name I pray. Amen. Have a great week. Don't forget about our Wednesday verse-by-verse service.